Welcome to the Werewolf Den, where we do a deep dive into the core concepts and principles behind White Wolf's Werewolf the Apocalypse.
I'm Amelin.
And I am Ryan.
Welcome back. So, we are finally finishing off our S tribes with the Stargazers. And before we get into it, we have to start with the unfortunate racism in the tribe.
Yeah, Stargazers suffer from a very heavy amount of Orientalism, especially in the early editions, but it has continued to linger on even into W20. Originally, they were sort of typecast as the Asian group, and we talked about this in the Silent Strider episode, how White Wolf has a tendency to always include some Asian version. Usually they're in a separate book. Originally the Stargazers weren't. They were included in the base book. But they're very much so just Asian werewolves. And even into the revised edition, it continues to be a problem. In revised, they basically compiled it into every bit of Asian philosophy all in the tribe. Zoroastrianism from Iran, that's there. Zen Buddhism from Japan, that's there too. These don't coexist together. They don't sync up. They're very unique and individual philosophies, and yet the Stargazers were just sort of the smorgasbord of every Asian philosophy thrown in together.
And this is very much to the tribe's detriment, because one of the nice things with all of the other tribes is there's always a core that you can go back to, but from that core, you still have this huge diversity of thought.
Mm-hmm.
If you talk to anybody who has academically studied feminism and not just some YouTube rando who only understands feminism via BuzzFeed articles, you'll find that there are so many schools of thoughts, literally dozens. They all have that core of women deserve equality, but how they achieve that equality, what does that equality mean, how are the best sorts of policies to pursue it. All of these different ideas can stem from that original idea. The thing is, Asian philosophy as just Asian philosophy is not a core idea. It's a region that...
Yeah, it's everything east of the Mediterranean. These are hundreds of different cultures and subcultures. And just sort of compiling them all together and then sullying it even further with Stargazer gifts and things of that sort, where it's just like, all right, you're Ninja Scroll too? Okay.
Yeah. So with this whole thing, keep in mind that we are going to do our best to be as positive as possible with this tribe. But it's also coming from the fact of, at its core, for W5, this tribe just needs to be rebuilt from the ground up.
Mm-hmm. There were the issues with the Silent Striders, but we could find a solid base for a tribe to exist on. Get rid of the bad stuff, and look, here's all this good stuff. And there's a central core thesis to the tribe that still stands. With the Stargazers, it just feels really flimsy. And
the racism is built even into the mechanics of the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And W20 tried, as we mentioned, tried to get rid of this with just making them all about balance, but that still reeks of that original problem. Oh, is this what you think all Asian philosophy is about? Because it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's still, you go into it and you can still find those racist, super racist gifts in there. And the gifts would not be nearly so bad if they were just regional gifts that were spread throughout the tribes, that you set out a book and it's like, this is how the Gitta Fenris get along in China. This is how the Bonars get along in Mongolia, sort of deal. And just had these funky weeaboo-like type of gifts in those books spread throughout the tribes as a regional or cultural thing. Obviously still use a sensitivity reader, but having that aspect of it, not having it as a tribe book of just this culture is a tribe, no, that's not gonna work.
Yeah.
But
with that out of the way,
yes, let's move on.
Yeah, let's talk about what there is to be done with this tribe.
And there are things that, after much, much discussion, we were able to come across, both players and storytellers can really latch on to, that do make the tribe unique from other tribes without using all that garbage. The biggest one, and I think the one that most people do recognize, is the aspect of anti-rage, which is a very interesting thought. So, within Garu culture, rage is kind of viewed as a blessing, because this is a gift that Luna has given you that bestows you the powers and prowess and the passion needed to fight your enemies. You can't feel energized to fight your enemies if you do not feel the passionate cause and drive to fight that rage gives you. But the Stargazers have this very internal focus to them that is unique to them. And this internal focus allows them to then be like, while other tribes are like, oh, there's misogyny, that's of the worm. There's hierarchical capitalism, that's of the worm. All of these sorts of things. The Stargazers will be like, well, wait, how does the worm attack us as Garu? Not the world, us uniquely. And that's through their rage. When you mechanically look at when rage goes wrong, when frenzy happens, you have these things called Thrall of the Worm, where when you lose control, the worm is supposedly what drives you to do some really horrible things within your frenzy.
Yeah, if you botch a frenzy check, then the idea is that the worm taint within rage itself causes you to do these heinous things. Curse of the Worm is another one, where if your rage is higher than a mundane NPC's willpower, they can sense that there is something menacing and predatory about you. And the fact that the name fits in there shows that, yeah, even within the general Garu culture, there's this kind of understanding that rage is definitely a double-edged sword.
And with that double-edged sword, it makes complete and utter sense that there is a tribe that is focusing on battling the worm within Garu culture itself. And that's where I feel like Stargazers really uniquely fit in. Because you have the Children of Gaia who are like all about healing the things, but they're not... I've always kind of felt that the Children of Gaia still see that kind of outsider perspective. They're still seeing how the worm from the outside is affecting and hurting the culture. They're not necessarily looking inwards as to what is causing the root of the problem to begin with within the culture itself, if that is a possibility. The Stargazers will ask that question, and that's really cool. What also makes it really cool is this makes the tribe, honestly, a lot easier for new players to get into, particularly in LARPs.
Mm-hmm. Before we jump on that, there's one last thing I want to talk about regarding anti-rage, and that's within their gifts. This is something we haven't really jumped into with a lot of the tribes, but Werewolf the Apocalypse is phenomenal for the supernatural powers, the gifts that it allows players to choose from. And a lot of times when we're struggling to kind of get to the root core of what a tribe is about, I'll look to the gifts and use those as a signifier of what this tribe is supposed to do. Bonar gifts are all about subverting the status quo and surviving when you should be dying. Well, this helps us understand their perspective. There are two gifts within the entire panoply of the Stargazer gift allotments that deal with this. One of them is actually pretty cool and allows you to spend rage to give yourself a bonus die on any challenge. Doesn't even have to be physical. For any other Garu, rage can only be used in a physical, violent, stressful situation. But a Stargazer can use their rage to do some carpentry work and make a chair, or write a poem for Chiminage for a spirit, or convince someone that, you know, they can use it for anything. And I think that's a really cool application of that concept within their gifts. They do have another one that's actually kind of awful. It's basically a weaker but more readily available version of Strength of Purpose that Philodox get, where they can make a very difficult roll to try and change their rage to willpower points. But they at least have something within that vein. I would definitely like to see more. Too many of their gifts are just, whoa, what do the the Asian vampires have. They can balance on the thread of a needle. Cool. They can, like, run up walls like a kung fu rope trick. Cool. It's just Orientalism again.
Mm-hmm.
There's something there in the gifts. Like to see that expanded and improved upon.
There we go. But yeah, moving on from that, I would also like to see Stargazers pushed kind of in the way that we more or less discouraged Children of Gaia from being pushed before. We talked in the Children of Gaia episode about how a lot of people will push new players to play Children of Gaia, and then players of Children of Gaia will feel stuck then, because Children of Gaia do have a philosophy, and they are not a placeholder tribe.
Mm-hmm.
They have an answer to the question. Stargazers don't, and they actually pride themselves on this. They pride themselves on the notion that they are still seeking an answer to the big questions of the world.
Their totem spirit, Chimera, is an enigma, a question that has no answer. And so, yeah, especially in LARPs, I think this is very, very useful, because in most any LARP, you have storytellers and narrators who are obviously strapped for time. They can only deal with so many people at any given point. And the advantage of a LARP is that players can just get together and play, and you won't need a storyteller there. The problem is, you oftentimes need an impetus. If people are just sitting there playing card games waiting for their turn with the storyteller, then a Stargazer can come in and ask questions and start a philosophical discussion. And I think that also not knowing helps in that as well. You don't even have to come in and ask a question. You can just be seeking information.
Mm-hmm.
And most any player is going to be happy to put down that card game they're playing and roleplay. And so the Stargazer is sort of an easy invitation for new players to come in and kickstart that roleplay without feeling like they're coming off as too proactive or maybe aggressive in their roleplay or something like that. Veterans can do this with any tribe, but I think the Stargazer is a very comfortable fit for a new player to come in and initiate that roleplay.
I very much like the notion of training players to be proactive in their roleplay. And this is actually something that helps train new players to be proactive, because it encourages them to ask those questions in character, because it's part of their character to ask those questions then.
And other players have that stereotype of Stargazers, that they're sort of Socrates wandering around Athens, asking questions. And so the fact that people associate that with the tribe helps. Because, yeah, that new player is going to feel comfortable in that role.
And with veteran players, then, you can take that to even further extremes and be like, okay, well, I do know all there is to know, and maybe I came up with an answer, and now I'm an evangelist for this new answer that none of the other tribes have offered before. Stargazer can actually then fit that role. You can be somebody who is a Stargazer that is like, I think I have found the answer, and I am going to tell the world, and you can get some really good roleplay from all those other tribes being like, the fuck are you talking about?
But yeah, where that internal focus can sometimes drag down a tabletop, it's really, really helpful to have in a LARP setting.
With that eternal focus, there is a very cool concept that I honestly really only came up with recently. I was listening to a bunch of different podcasts that had nothing to do with Werewolf, but I was hearing some stuff about some old horror games that were coming out of, I believe it was Tibet. Could be wrong, so I won't name drop the games. Anyway, the story of the game was talking about how the horror of this family falling into this cult-like mentality. And after listening to this, it got me thinking about kind of the cult-like mentality of the Garou Nation. Tribes could very easily be seen as cult-like mentalities. Whether or not you agree with that depends, I suppose, on which tribe you're talking about and where your own personal political leanings stand. But it could very easily be taken that way. Particularly then with that whole anti-rage aspect that the stargazers have then, they can very much see the guru this way. The worm is attacking you by turning you guys into your own personal death cult, where you are just sinking into this rage and not seeing the things within yourself that you need to purify, and then having this notion of being resistant to cult-like brainwashing can then lead to some very interesting places that you could do with your storytelling. Playing with this notion of what does it mean to be a tribe, and particularly then if you encounter a Black Spiral Dancer or a brainwashed Pentex employee, this can be a very fun place to take the Stargazer with, because they're going to look at that and recognize it for what it is and be like, oh, I need to do something to break this mentality. That's how I fight the worm, is by breaking this sort of brainwashing or maybe deprogramming them. And it's a cool aspect, I think. And I would very much be very interested in anybody, if they have run with this stuff, please leave comments and stories down below. I already like hearing your stories down there below. If you have anything else, though, relating to using this anti-rage aspect to break brainwashing or do anything like that, I think this would be a really cool way to run with this tribe. But hopefully, with those little bits that we gave you, we at least laid some sort of groundwork that you can use with this tribe. I do think that there is things that we can work from. Definitely some things that need to be addressed when W5 comes around. But hopefully not a complete lost cause.
Hopefully, as it stands, this episode has been at least
helpful.
In some fashion helpful. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening to us this time, and thankfully now we are done with the S's.
And now it's all the tribes that have been hurt by colonialism.
Mm-hmm.
So next up, we'll have what I think is one of the coolest tribes, Older Brother.
So, for those of you who have been probably a little new and kind of just raising your eyebrow a little bit, there's a reason we've been referring to these tribes as Older and Younger Brother. For Older Brother, for those of you who do not know, we are referring to Uktena. We will go into why we use Older Brother next time.
Mm-hmm.
See you then.
Bye.
Valued employee, thank you for returning to the Pentex break room. How may I assist with your relaxed conversation today?
So, did I ever tell you about the Rockford Stargazers that I got players to play?
No! Please don't!
Oh, okay. Well, I will. So, in the Rockford LARP, there were you know, a lot of werewolf players, because werewolves are super powerful, and it was a mix-nuts game, right? And so everyone's out to kill each other, and it was a chaotic mess. But werewolves, that was the good one, right? Super powered right from the start, you understand?
Sounds like a chaotic mess.
It was. But so Stargazers, right? You know, in the LARP setting, they started with 5 willpower, which is more than any of the other tribes. And so I would go up to people and I'd be like, hey, you know, you should consider Stargazer. And you know, it'd be a Lupus as well, because then you get 5 Gnosis. And of course, you are a Rune, so you got the 5 Rage. You got all these points.
Ha 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 ha! I love it when we encourage terrible power gaming.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, don't worry about any of the ideas or concepts behind this tribe, right? Because, let me sell you on this, Kylando, all right? You're a murder machine that can get really big with claws and everything. But then Kylando is something that only you can do. No one else in the Garu Nation has it, just Stargazers. How about that? You sold? You sold?
That makes no sense, and I love it.
You know what really doesn't make any sense? So one of the things people would do in this Rockford LARP, right, I told them this and it was great, is, you know, hey, if you attack someone with one claw, right, that's one egg. But what if you attacked with both claws? But don't just stop there. You have feet as well. So you're going to jump forward at your opponent, and you're going to extend your hands and feet. Don't stop just there, because you also have a face. and you can use your face not to shift into a Krenos head, because that's weak sauce. You want a Hispo head. So you have Krenos hands, Krenos feet, and a Hispo head. So you're doing 1, 2, 3, 4, and a Hispo head does 5, 6 ag. But don't stop there, you're also in our runes. You've got razor claws. So your hands and your feet both do 2 ag for a total of 10 ag in one attack. And since it's a mixed nuts game, you don't have to worry about anyone being like, is that safe in the rules? Because you're a werewolf and they've only looked at the vampire book, and so they have no fucking clue what the heck you can do. So just do it. Do a 5 phalange pounce, murder them in one hit, and everyone will be like, whoa, Stargazer Lupus R runes are the shit. And they'll want to be them, and that's how you make a tribe cool.
Character sheets are being printed. As we speak, rules have been modified. Thank you very much for your contribution.
Yeah, I'm gonna go get some more of those potatoes.